All right. Our next speaker is Evan Roussakis, who's going to present how Apache Superset reinvented and re-engineered its world documentation. Please give a warm welcome to Evan.
Hello. Thanks for joining. Just curious, if anybody has not heard of Apache Superset here, I'd love to see a hand. All right, fantastic. You've justified my existence. All right, this is a long title, but I wanted to share some of the needs and projects and learnings that have led to a better documentation setup for our project. I'm Evan Roussakis. I work at a company called Preset that's like a managed service version of Apache Superset. And I'm a PMC member, which is a project management committee person, and I work on the docs, and I'm tired of doing it, and I read them sometimes, but mostly lean on AI like everybody else these days, so trying to make things easier for those training models on our behalf. There's my contact info if you want to follow up afterward, but very quickly, this is not a product talk, but I'll just tell you what Superset is real quick. It's a very advanced BI tool for data teams that want to just democratize access to their data and visualize it in sensible ways and explore and share the insights they find. It's by GitHub Stars, the Apache Software Foundation's biggest project. It's got a lot of contributors. There's been about 350 PRs this month. It's a very active project. And it's got a SQL workbench, which allows you to really connect to pretty much any data source under the sun and write all kinds of queries, share them with your team. Then you can drag and drop those columns and build visualizations. Those visualizations build dashboards, which you can do all kinds of drilling and filtering and cool stuff with. And then, of course, Preset, who was kind enough to fly me here, is a managed version of that that adds a bunch of bells and whistles, and you can add, you can have multiple instances of Superset for all sorts of different purposes. If you want to try Superset, this is an easy way to do it for free. I'm not here to sell stuff. It's an open source conference. So let's get back to talking about the docs. You can check out the repo here. You can check out the docs themselves. It's all live on the site, obviously. And when we talk about rebuilding our documentation, this is one of the first questions that always comes up. Can't you just have AI do this? And we sure tried, just for sport. But in the end, it did not go very well. You have AI that just kind of dumps out a whole bunch of garbage. Really, it's you get all these fancy mermaid diagrams, but all the unimportant details kind of come front and center, and all the little nuanced things that are very important to humans and administrators of this kind of product just get ditched, you know, somewhere very deep down in the docs, or they're hard to find. Sure, it's a lot of pages, a lot of words, but it doesn't really help people that much. So you're the right one. You know where the product is headed. You know what's important to people that use and administer your product. So you should have a lot of say in how these things are built. So the hot take here is that, yeah, you're the one that knows what your docs should be and what they should say. And machines are really the ones that are good at writing code. And the point of this talk is that you can have AI write code to write your docs. So I wanted to share some of the hackathon experiments that I've been working on to kind of prove the point to myself and the team. So it all started with a little bit of road mapping. We had a project that we had to reinvent the docs for. I'll get into it. But step one is assessing the mess. In our world, we had all kinds of stuff that was scattered all over. We had wikis, we had you know, emails and third-party blogs, and just README files in dozens of places on the repo. Everybody kind of created their own little scattered bit of historical information somewhere, and institutional knowledge was really what people would lean on, far too much. So the idea was to kind of clean all this stuff up, get it all under one roof, and make it better than it's ever been. The key problems to solve are that, you know, since if you can't find everything, the on-ramp for new contributors is incredibly difficult, or for new users. Search is limited. AI even doesn't have that great of a singular knowledge base to refer to when it's doing training runs. There's a lot of duplication of effort, because if there's multiple places things are being documented, guess what you've got to do? And then, you know, the worst part as a contributor is whenever you write a new pull request and get some code merged, now you have to go write the docs for that thing, and that's a total drag. Nobody wants to do it. So this all just becomes a giant mess where the code base is a moving target, the docs can't keep up. So what do we do? You let that code base determine what you should do, really. You get everything under one roof, federate all your content first, get everything cross-referenced, and then you try to get the docs to build themselves. Your code is probably full of little implementation details and metadata and all this stuff that's really useful. So we'll capitalize on that. And then, of course, you want to optimize for humans that actually read the docs, and then, of course, for the AI training models that people are building. You know, these foundational models are trained on open source, and that's a whole other topic, which is great. So I wrote up this big proposal. We call it a SIP, a Superset Improvement Proposal, and it was to build a new developer portal because we're building a whole new extension architecture in Superset, which is awesome. But for all these new features, we want to make sure that developers are using them, so we had to go make it easy to do. First up, find the right platform. Another good use of AI is doing your homework for you and finding all the platforms that exist and where they fall short. For us, it turned out that actually DocuSaurus ticked all the boxes when you add all the fancy plugins, so we rolled with that. And speaking of getting rolling, sweeping up. First thing you got to do, you've got old docs, so go ahead and let AI sweep through and find all the spelling mistakes, add all the cross-links. Just, it does all the heavy lifting of pulling your wiki over and all that very easily, so you can just kind of get organized and have a good, here's all my stuff version of the documentation. And then you've got to look for the fun part, the opportunities to make your documentation build itself. The code in many places is self-documenting, so you want to look for those repeating patterns and probably rewrite parts of your code itself so that it can be leveraged by your documentation. AI is really great at turning metadata into pages, but not just saying, here's some metadata, spit out a bunch of words, but actually having it write the code for DocuSaurus to render those pages or any other documentation tool you're using. So let it write scripts, because we all are probably using AI to write code every day. I know I hardly write code at all anymore, being honest. So just use it to do that. So first test, we have this mapping visualization in Superset, one of a few different map visualizations, where we have to have all of the countries of the world represented, and it parses a bunch of GeoJSON stuff. And if you go and mess with this gigantic Jupyter notebook, then you've got to go and update the actual plugin itself to add the country that you might have added, and then you've got to go update the docs. So it's easy enough to actually have the Jupyter notebook update the code for the visualization plugin and update the docs. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Now a contributor can just do one little thing in a notebook and the product and the documentation just take care of themselves. So let's expand on that. Feature flags are something that were a nuisance. Previously we had this markdown file on the repo, and every time somebody added a feature flag or changed its status or its default, you have to go and update this thing, and nobody ever does or wants to. So it falls out of date all the time and led to funny bug reports and stuff. So I went in and I added a bunch of comments to the config file. So you've got all this meaningful stuff about what category the flag falls into, what its default state is, what status it's in of its feature flag lifecycle as we get rid of things. And then it builds these pages. You've got a super long page, all very organized, of what is set, what way, what it does, how long it's going to be there. And that's very handy, and you never have to touch that documentation file again. API docs. Everybody's got an API. Everybody's seen this thing, the Swagger renderer. We've had that in our product forever. Never loved it. So wham, bam, DocuSaurus magic, lots of plugins, and all of a sudden you've got this very interactive stuff with code samples. All the response objects from your API, the parameters, all the good stuff developers actually need, all in a very interactive playground set, sort of place. Now, databases are something that we care a lot about. Superset connects to a whole bunch of stuff, and what it does as a product is essentially just use some translation layers to send SQL to and from the database. You've got a SQL lab where you're writing the queries, and then you get data back And then we visualize it. It's actually pretty straightforward when you oversimplify it like that. But in the actual stack, there's this top layer called the DB Engine spec that sits on top of SQL Alchemy dialects. And that's where we do the stuff that Superset cares about, like documenting time granularities and other little peculiarities of databases that make them special and make them work with Apache Superset. So this is our old documentation. This was hand-edited stuff on the doc site until just a few days ago, honestly. And it was out of date. Some of these connection details were incorrect. And nobody could ever answer the question of how many databases do we support. And nobody wants to go and clean up these docs. So we also had this logo wall on the homepage of the site. And it's like, how did we pick these databases to have logos on the logo wall? Why are these ones important? So what I did is I went through and added, with AI, a bunch of metadata to every one of the DB Engine spec files that we use in Superset. And that means we can all of a sudden also take advantage of these DB Engine spec details about time grains and other features and all of the custom error messages that they respond. All of a sudden you get this lovely index page that tells you exactly how many databases you support. And you can search and you can sort by the type they are, or what features they support, and all kinds of other stuff. So you get this lovely table that if you're looking for a database, you can figure out which one might be a good fit for you. All of a sudden you get these great documents that have truthful and up-to-the-date information on how to connect to them, and even what all their little errors and peculiarities are. The newest one I just merged quite recently is about React Storybook. I don't know how many of your front-end developers are here, but in our particular product, we've got a Python backend, React front-end, and we've got a million React components, many of which are based on AntD, but also several other libraries. We've had this React Storybook, like so many people have seen, sitting there collecting dust, so to speak. Nobody ever actually does NPM run Storybook to see what your components do. They just kind of go into the code and figure out what they can do the best they can. So if nobody's going to leverage it, might as well build it into the docs. It turns out there's a whole bunch of plugins you can use to make this fancy and build it into DocuSaurus. You just have to have AI go and update all of your little story files. And then you have fully interactive examples, just like Storybook, but even better, you get this live code editor, which you can't do in Storybook, as far as I've seen, to just type some code and fiddle with your components. You get all the props and everything you need to know how to import it, and even links to edit the documentation of the story itself. Then, of course, the best thing you can do for open source is tell the world you use it. So we have this in the wild page, which used to be a markdown file. Nobody knew it existed, therefore nobody updated it, but why would you update it if nobody can find it? So I changed it from a markdown file to a YAML file with the help of AI, and then a little DocuSaurus magic, and all of a sudden we have this new in the wild page where you can slap some logos on it, you get the little user faces from GitHub, and it gives it a very high profile page on the website. And you even get a little crawling logo wall on the front page as well. So that's a nice bonus. Then this is one I'm halfway through right now, which I'm dying to finish, screenshot updates. Everybody has screenshots of their stuff in their docs, and they're such a pain to update because you're constantly changing the UI on things, right? So we're using Playwright to test stuff in Superset right now, and turns out Playwright can take screenshots. So if you actually find the right part of the DOM on your site to take a screenshot at the right time in the right state, you can just have this script run and take screenshots of all the things you need, copy the files into your DocuSaurus site, and then your screenshots will always be correct. And we've added versioning to all of our sections of the docs, so whenever you cut a new version, it copies all those old files over, and they'll be locked at the right place and time. And then as you keep changing things, your next version will always be up to date. So speaking of next, what are we doing? Superset now supports theming. So you can make the product look like whatever you want, look like your brand, great for embedded analytics and all sorts of purposes. So documenting those, creating a playground, how to build them, and leaning on all the libraries we're built around so that all of that documentation builds itself. Even when we upgrade all these foundational packages, that can be done. We've got this extensions effort, which is kind of a big deal. We've taken a lot of inspiration from VS Code, where you can add plugins anywhere that do anything, and we're actually kind of riffing on their architectural plan of how that works. So you can add a bunch of bells and whistles in a bunch of different places in Apache Superset coming soon. That's why we built this new developer portal. And the extensions are starting to happen. So these docs are kind of half human written, half AI written, but the real meat and potatoes of it for automation's sake is actually the extensions themselves. People are publishing them on NPM, and right now we have this little markdown table we're building because it's all very new. But obviously the extensions, when they get loaded, they have a JSON file, kind of like a package JSON, and we can put as much metadata in there as we want, including your screenshots and descriptions and compatibility matrix and whatever other licensing and security details we start to care about. And then this page, which is right now hand-edited, will go away and be automatic. So as the ecosystem builds and suddenly we go from 10 extensions to thousands of them, it's all just going to show up there and be up to date all the time. So, yeah, AI. This is where open source has a huge advantage. It's almost unfair, really. Open source is the best substrate for using or training AI. Everything about your project, the people, the code, the design patterns, the history, the arguments that happen on GitHub, all of that stuff has been just sitting there on the internet and they're drinking it up. So AI knows everything about you, and now your job is to make the documentation and the public-facing stuff regarding your project as comprehensive as possible, so that the next training run will include more of it and be more useful to people. So you've got to help humans. They need to know where to find things. But you've got to make sure that things are always current for them. And the goal is to not have to maintain as much as the code base grows. So we have a million little helpers on our repo right now. Because we're open source, all these people are basically donating their service to us for free, which is fantastic. And you have an AI chat on the homepage itself, which is very good. But all of these things are actually training on the docs site and fine-tuning constantly. So the more we update it, the more they know. So this stuff is already helping. And by the way, there's a talk tomorrow with the GitHub thing, if anybody's coming to that. But I'll be talking about these guys. They're actually starting to talk to each other, which is a total trip. In conclusion here, I guess the point of this story is to not let AI just run away and write a billion words about your product. That doesn't really do any service for AI that's going to train on it later. It doesn't really do any service for your users that are trying to read it and find the important parts and the nuance and the details. Use AI, but use it to write code. And use it to change your code so it can build the documentation. And don't be too lazy about that. But ultimately, if you put in the work and do these migrations, the docs will build themselves more and more, and your life will become easier. So that essentially is the crux of my talk. I left some time, so if anybody has ideas, questions, whatever, I would love to hear about it. I've also got stickers for anybody that wants some. Cool. 5 minutes if anybody's got burning questions or ideas or whatever.
I actually do have a question on the configuration work because it makes me think of things I've worked on recently. From the moment you started this kind of docs rebuilding project, to the moment you had something you could publish to the world, how long approximately did that take you?
You can publish something in one day. Some parts were harder than others. Doing the In the Wild page, where you could just see all the faces and logos all of a sudden, took a couple hours. But doing the storybook thing where we have hundreds and hundreds of stories and they all need to be refactored in some way, that was a lot of, you know, monkey in the middle testing and nope, that didn't fix it, nope, that didn't fix it stuff. But so it depends, but you could just chip away at it. Those were a handful of products or projects rather that I wanted to start with, but there's plenty left and I'll just try to make as much of it as generated as possible in the near future.
How was the feedback in your developer community? Was the pushback or was this just accepted as a good tool?
So far, the feedback from the developer community has been, the question was about the feedback from the developer community. Was there pushback or general acceptance or excitement? And so far, it's been excitement. We've answered questions we didn't have answers to before about what databases we support, how many of them, all that stuff. The optics in terms of partnership have gotten better because now we're surfacing logos for all of these different companies and different databases. They get a link, they get better SEO. We get better SEO because people are able to search for these things. Does Superset connect to database X? Well, yes, it does. The answer's there. So being that much more comprehensive makes us much more findable as a project, makes the site more comprehensive and pretty. It's almost like the old web rings. Like, you know, we just link to everything now. They link back to us. It's a virtuous cycle, and it's all growing very quickly. But the developers are stoked because nobody has to maintain database docs anymore. Nobody has to maintain more and more parts of the docs. It's taking care of itself. Anyone else?
You showed an example where, to find out which database you could connect to, you add this metadata program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then make it discoverable in some form, right? It looked like it was TypeScript, if I'm not mistaken, but do you support multiple languages? Is there like a static analysis over like the code tree?
Okay, yeah. How does it actually work?
Yeah, and then is it linkable, for instance?
Yeah.
Can you have links to classes?
So the question was kind of about how it works. Like, you saw some TypeScript, there's also some Python, so what language is it in, and how does the transformation and build process work? And when you start up DocuSaurus, it gives you the ability to just run a bunch of scripts along with it. And so half our code base is in Python, half of it's in TypeScript, front end, back end. It can really munge any of that stuff. It's pulling in YAML files and JSON files and Python files and all kinds of stuff. And it's just a collection of little scripts. So for the database, the DB engine specs, there's metadata in a Python file. In the wild page, it's YAML. For maps, it's TypeScript. And just each one of these little scripts has its job to just chew through all the metadata files, build an index, build the individual pages, to put all the links and logos and everything in the right place. So it's just runs all of them in sequence.
How do you set up the review process? Like every AI run, you have like a review round?
Mm.
How do you do that?
So the question was about the review process and how we manage that. And really, the pull request has a preview build. We have 1 minute. On the pull request, you actually get a preview build of the site. So you can just click it and click around on it. And I'll be adding some visual regression testing as well. But there's no AI involvement in when it builds, actually, because the contributor just edits some metadata, and then what happens is deterministic. So the AI, I guess the crux of the argument is that you shouldn't let AI be building your docs. It doesn't in our case. It's really just that we're using AI to build more and more tools so that deterministically the docs are scripted to build themselves from the code base.
So like you're building like import scripts?
Yeah, a bunch of import and layout builder scripts and all of that. All right, I think that's my time. Thank you all very much. Free sticker.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.